Please rise as you are able, so we may call ourselves to worship, together using the words of Psalm 149. Sing to the Lord a new song. Let Israel celebrate its Maker. Let them praise God's name with dance. Because the Lord is pleased with his people. Let the faithful celebrate this God with glory. Our hymn is number 461, God is Here. Proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God with confidence. In faith and in penance, let us confess our sin before God and one another. God of light and life, today you set before us the challenges of laying aside the works of darkness, of putting on the light of Christ, of being watchful and prepared for your coming in the midst in the person of Jesus Christ. So many people, young and old, grope helplessly in the gloom of despair and suffering, yearning for the light of hope to dawn in their lives. Friends, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Hear the word of the Lord in Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. May the peace of Christ be with you. Please share this peace with all you meet, beginning with those surrounding you here. You may be seated. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray that as we read and meditate on your words this morning, that you will open our eyes and our hearts to your spiritual truths. Guide us in your truth and teach us, for you are God our Savior, and our hope is in you all day long. Amen. Our reading this morning is found in Matthew. I will be reading chapter 18, but I will be starting at verse 12 through 20. It can be found on page 20 in the New Testament pew there. What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault. When the two of you are alone, if the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to even to listen to the church, let such one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you asked, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with among them.
So, Olivia, you want to come up?
Thank you.
You know, I think that's the first time the choir's been up here since May? Or were they here last week?
No.
Welcome back, choir. It's good to have you. It was a lovely rendition of It Is Well With My Soul. The second reading today, can you hear me at all? Okay, barely. I've got my mic on, and I think my batteries are dead. And that's not working. I'm going to have to really push. Okay, the second reading today comes to us from Paul's letter to the Romans, okay? And the Roman church was struggling, as most of them do. And Richard, would you mind getting a couple batteries and we'll swap batteries? Thanks. And he's written them a letter to encourage them. So listen now. I'm reading from the Common English Bible. He says, where did that come from? Thanks be to God. Don't be in debt to anyone except for the obligation to love one another. Whoever loves another person has fulfilled the law. The commandments, don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't desire what others have, and any other commandments are all summed up in one word. You must love your neighbor as yourself. Love doesn't do anything wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is what fulfills the law. As you do all this, you know what time it is. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your sleep. Now, our salvation is nearer than when we first had faith. The night is almost over and the day is near. So let's get rid of the actions that belong to the darkness and put on the weapons of light. Let's behave appropriately as people who live in the day, not in partying and getting drunk, nor in sleeping around and obscene behavior, not in fighting and obsession. Instead, dress yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't plan to indulge your selfish desires. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. So, going back to what Lou read, for years, many Presbyterians have thought of the Matthew passage as the Presbyterian rulebook for conflict resolution. In true Presbyterian style, verses 15 to 17 lay out rules that are decent and in good order. When someone trips you up, call him on it in private. No need to shame someone when the faux pas could have been due to an unintentional oversight or misunderstanding of a communication. You know? This way you can figure out things between you in a way that is less embarrassing for everyone. And if the two of you are able to work things out through conversation, that's great. But if not, you can either agree to disagree or move on to step two. Find one or two others and go back to continue the discussion. This way, the others can affirm or not what you believe the other guy is saying. Again, this allows for a quieter settlement. Now, if after this meeting you and your opponent are still far apart, either recognize there is no common ground or take your argument before the session. But please remember, Calvin has written that there is very little that is of great consequence before God, so think about your argument. Now, we don't have a copyright on this system. Legal battles go through a similar process. Cases often begin with a letter from an attorney to someone who's overstepped someone else's boundaries. Now, hopefully things will be worked out from this letter, But this could easily ratchet up to mediation before someone who's been trained to help people settle their disagreements. And if that fails, well, there's always going to court. It doesn't really matter what the issues are. Procedural rules remind us it makes sense to listen and to try to work things out first. But I wonder, what if Matthew isn't merely setting up rules for Christian engagement? What if this plan isn't designed to help a person resolve an argument? What if Matthew's Jesus is trying to encourage his followers to build community with one another? What if his point is less about having a code of conduct to follow and more about regaining a brother or a sister? What if this whole thing isn't so much about settling arguments, but more about creating a space in which the Spirit of Christ might actually bring about healing and wholeness? That idea puts a whole different spin on the story, doesn't it? In the first part of our Matthew reading, we heard how the Good Shepherd leaves 99 sheep out in the field while he goes in search of one lost lamb. Jesus is saying that God believes every one of God's sheep is vitally important, and God wants them all to be in the flock, safe. So losing one member of the church because of a feud, it's like losing a lamb on the hillside. Yes, it's a lot easier to just cut the problem child out of the flock, to lose the lamb, so to speak. But saving the entire flock from harm is where God's heart is. Yeah, I know how hard it can sometimes be to make a relationship work. It's even harder to build or maintain a harmonious community of people. And notice, I did not use the word melody. I said harmonious. We all have different points of view when it comes to important matters. But song is more beautiful when you hear it as we can when the choir sings in multiple parts, all swirling around, creating this amazing sound, this symphony, if you will. And as anyone who's played in a band or sung in a choir can tell you, it takes a whole lot of work to deliver a beautiful piece, right, ladies? Yeah, they're shaking their heads. This is especially true when someone is goofing off in rehearsal or hasn't practiced her part and drags everyone else down. Life would be easier if the director would just go to that person and tell them to find a different outlet for their talents, right? But here, Jesus tells his followers it's their job, to go directly to the person with their concern. Yikes. That can be a very hard thing to do. What if he gets angry with you? What if your words hurt her feelings? And bringing along another person to listen, well, that can put the one who's being talked with on the defensive. That does not make for a very productive conversation, does it? Sadly, some organizations have even broken apart when they've tried to work things out as a group. We've been through it as the PCUSA, and now our Methodist brothers and sisters are going through similar situation. Yet it's much more harmful to allow folks to make caustic remarks about the other people when they're out of the room, or post jagged barbs on Facebook, or maybe sweep the whole thing under the rug in the hopes that people's emotions will settle down and the ruckus will blow over. No. The instruction that Jesus is giving his followers, though difficult, actually draws people away from their brokenness. When someone has intentionally turned down a path that doesn't bring wholeness to all or part of the group, the rest of us have to face the situation with honesty and gentleness, much like the good shepherd who's rescuing a lost and frightened lamb. You know, lambs, they tend to trot away when shepherds unthinkingly stomp up to them. It's a mess. Rescues go a whole lot better when approached calmly, gently, lovingly. The kind of relationship Jesus is encouraging in today's passage stands on a foundation of tender honesty. And without the kind of authenticity that comes from honesty, relationships are doomed. In the same manner, Paul's words to the Roman church point readers towards Jesus' way of life as described in Matthew. But while Matthew almost compels us to hear Jesus' words as rules, as laws, Paul tells us the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. He rolls straight from itemizing some of the great commandments to Jesus' great summation: love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Paul is not talking about love as a heart-filled emotion. The original Greek text that he writes in uses the word agape for love. You've heard that word before, agape. And agape love is more a compassionate attitude, a behavior, a norm by which the Christian community takes account of its life together. And yes, his definition of the word neighbor, that is not limited to the guy next door or the members of the Roman church. He's including, as did Jesus, every person you meet. So does love make a squishy mess of community life? Do rules and commandments no longer have a place in our lives? On the contrary, communities would be in chaos without laws that define acceptable behaviors. Allowing murderers to roam the streets because we love them isn't good for anyone. But laws are limited. They can only show us our sin. They cannot change us. Only love can transform a person into a better human being. I could say this from an experience. Before seminary, I worked inside almost all of Ohio's, I don't know how many prisons, 31, it was crazy. And I can say those facilities hold a lot, thousands of broken, evil people who'd really rather manipulate your kindness to meet their personal desires than turn from their way of life. But I also believe the Kairos ministry through which ordinary Christians go inside those prisons to offer God's word and Jesus' healing agape love to those people, well, it can open the doors to spiritual transformations in some of the inmates. Not all, but some. It's through that kind of agape love that the spirit of Jesus' greatest commandment can open hearts to the Holy Spirit's love, which can transform lives. Yes, for any community to function well, guidelines for getting along, rules, if you will, need to be set out for all to live by. And yet, Paul clearly states, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love is the fulfilling of the law. In other words, when we live by loving other people as ourselves, acting out our best intentions and behaving in ways that genuinely express our faith in Christ, we will fulfill the laws of God and of our society. So, about that question that I asked a little while ago, what if Matthew's Jesus is trying to encourage us to build community with one another? Aren't the rules he's proposing more about creating a space in which the Holy Spirit might actually bring about healing and wholeness? Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven." Acting in our most compassionate intentions, expressing our faith by living in the light of day, which is the light of Christ, binds us together in a community of active love, agape love, with all we meet. Love fulfills the law. So those rules Jesus offers in today's Matthew reading are there to help us nurture relationship, with all we meet. We're doing that so that no sheep is lost. Those rules help us to act with agape so communities can be built and strengthened. Living in such active love this way may seem difficult, right? It's so much easier to take pot shots at those with whom we don't agree. For that matter, living our lives according to all the myriad laws of society, well, that's also challenging. Yet, when we live in the light of love, God does something through us that transforms our hearts. And over time, we become someone different than who we once were. And we find that when we live by Jesus' greatest commandment, we see the other as a child of God. And living according to the laws of society, it becomes easier. It's then that we live honorably as in the day, not in reveling or drunkenness or quarreling or jealousy. And when living in such a state of grace, the Spirit is more able to bring about healing and wholeness, not just in us, but in those around us as well. Both Jesus and Paul are encouraging us to hope and to pray and to yearn for grace to restore broken relationships to wholeness, to heal broken hearts, both our own and those of the people with whom we've disagreed. The Presbyterian Rule Book for Conflict Resolution? I don't really think so. I believe love is Jesus' law, and love fulfills all law. God created people out of a love for greater, far greater than agape, and God wants to save the whole flock, not just the 99. Jesus' guidelines are for healing broken relationships. He's showing us how love can fulfill the law. Our hearts are healed when we show love towards one another, and I don't mean just the people in this sanctuary, but all the people we meet. That's what Jesus and Paul point to in these readings, friends. So may we all put on the armor of light and live into the grace-filled love God has shown us through the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Will you please rise as you are able and affirm your faith with me? Today we remember the words of the Apostle Creed, which are printed on one side of the laminated pew cards. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born under the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As the elder and chairing the nominating committee this year, I wish to tell you that the committee is beginning its work to ensure that we have a full complement of officers to conduct the work of the church in the coming year. The committee includes Larry Good, Mindy Patterson, Barry Sheets, Mary Flanagan. We will endeavor to find replacements for deacons and elders who are completing their terms of service to Trinity. Our Book of Order specifies that those completing 2 3-year terms as an elder or a deacon must step down. In other words, rest for at least 1 year before returning to their previous leadership position as an elder or a deacon. Those stepping down this year are deacons Bev LeMasters, Marcia Mortimer, and Donna Myers. In addition, we have elders and deacons completing their first 3-year terms who we will be contacting to see if they are able to keep on serving in a second term. Hopefully all will be able to serve another term. If not, the nominating committee will look for their replacements. Now, and this is the important part of this message that I hope you'll remember. If any of you in the congregation wish to nominate anyone to serve, including yourselves, we encourage you to do so by informing me or Pastor Deb. Finally, you, the congregation, will have the final say on who serves. For that, there will be a congregational meeting some Sunday in October, but no later than in November, to vote on the nominees. Thank you, and rejoice and be glad in this day that the Lord has made for us.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 514, Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ.
My brothers and sisters, this is the Lord's table. It is not a Presbyterian table, and it is not your family's table. This is Christ's table. This is where all who believe in him may share in the feast our Lord first prepared for his disciples and for the communion of all the saints who have followed him throughout the ages. Therefore, now, let all children come from north and south and east and west to sit at table in the kingdom of God. May God be with you. Lift up your hearts. God gives us all that we need in every moment. Therefore, let us give thanks to the God we love. Holy God, you created a planet full of life. You created humans in your image. You taught our ancestors how to live in your world by giving them challenges as well as hopes. You brought our forebears out of captivity in Egypt into the fullness of life. But they turned to wander through the deserts of despair. So you sent prophets to teach us, but we heeded them not, choosing to listen to the frantic words of our earthly rulers. So you sent to us your child, Jesus, who was born in a cattle stall, grew in humility and gentleness, and showed us by his compassionate example how you love us and how we are to love all people. Now you call us to follow Jesus' path of truth, to demonstrate how love fulfills the law, and so carry your message of hope and justice into the world. Created in your image, we still experience the challenges of living in your complicated world. Yet in Jesus, you also show us the hope of the world. Therefore, we join with all creation to praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy are you, God of gracious love. All creation joins in you. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes to us filled with great compassion. Hosanna in the highest. My brothers and sisters, let us now remember the story of our Lord's most gracious gift of life. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This loaf, this bread, is my body, which has been broken for you. Take and eat of it, doing so in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup in the same way and said, "This cup is the new covenant poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." Holding the bread and the cup ever before us, we will go out into the world to boldly proclaim his life, his death, and his resurrection with joy, saying, "Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ has come again." Will you please take the prayer?
Let us pray. All-knowing God, you know our needs before we name them in prayer. All-caring God, you care enough to hear our prayers anyway, knowing that all we truly need is your love. All-loving God, hear now these prayers that name the needs of your people. Your people who need better health. John and Dave, Dora, Merle, Gretchen, Herb, and those we hold silently in our hearts. Your people who need peace, those who suffer physical and emotional abuse, those who live in Syria and the Sudan and Ukraine. Your people who need hope, those who've lost a job, those who've received a devastating diagnosis, those whose marriage is teetering on the brink of disaster, the people of Morocco and the people of Maui. Lord, your whole creation needs your powerful presence. All-powerful God, the need is so great, we are stymied. And yet so we look to you and rejoice because you are far greater than those things. We thank you for your blessings and ask you to hear our prayers on behalf of those we lift to you this day. Now, let us remember the words our Savior has taught all disciples, saying,
"Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory." This is the feast of life. This is the feast that God has prepared through Jesus for all of us to be strengthened into service. Let us share now in this joyous feast. This is the bread of life. Take and eat of it. This then is the cup of salvation. Take and drink, remembering him. Let us pray. O Lord, you have nourished us with the meal Jesus provides. You have challenged us to go out to nourish others with compassion, agape, food, and drink. May we faithfully share the gospel's hope and promise as you ask. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 462. Christ, whose glory fills the skies. Thank you.
fulfills the law. Three words. Sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? But we all know how difficult it is to love others who don't see the world the way we do. And that can mean the ones we love the most when we kind of diverge, right? But today we have been nourished by the meal that Christ has set before us so that we can go out and through love fulfill the law. So go, knowing that God is with you, that the love of Christ goes with you, and that the Holy Spirit draws you together in the community of all who understand that love fulfills the law. Amen.